Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Welcome to One for the Road, the podcast about running and the rest of your life.
On this episode, we talk books, films, running in Edinburgh, parkrun, smear tests, giving blood, our favourite coffee spots, and how successful or unsuccessful our 2015 resolutions have been.
So let's start with our normal starting point and talk about what we've been up to.
What have I been up to? I have been working away. I done a little bit of running. Oh, I went to see Romeo and Juliet at the cinema. As in Romeo and Juliet, the Baz Luhrmann version, made in 1996. Can you believe? And it had, it's the one with Leonardo DiCaprio and Claire Danes.
They must look so young in it.
Honestly, I can't get over how young they look in it. And it's really strange because I was very young when it came out. I was 9.
Mm.
I didn't see it at the cinema. Clearly I was too young. And I don't think I actually saw it for a little while. I had it on video. Or someone lent it to me on video. And I then was obsessed. Because I think we had to watch it for school as well. But watching it at the cinema, there was so much in it. Given that I had to study it at school, I still didn't appreciate the detail. Some of the stuff in it, all the way he links together the story and how the Shakespeare and the depth and, you know. The people I went with were really into it as well, so we all got very excited about how well he had adapted the story. But just the fact of when they get married, they look insanely young. And it makes so much more sense now, because watching it as a person who is now... So they were... Leonardo DiCaprio was 19, Claire Danes was 16, and if I was watching it when I was like 12, 13,
I'd be like, oh my god, I need to get married soon.
I just remember thinking, I didn't really like process kind of like the fact that they were young as well.
Mm.
I just was like, they are people older than me getting married and they are in love. Isn't this? And I kind of was swept into the romance idea of it. But now, watching it, being so much older and seeing how young they look, all I could see was like his shirt, his jacket, like he puts on this like smart suit and it's far too big for him, and they're both just like so baby faced and look far too young to be that in love and to be getting married within the 24 hours of meeting each other. So like the whole ridiculousness of the story hit me a bit more, and I was like, this is, and it makes a lot more sense why it was just not filmed that people are like who are our age at the time, or you know, the age we are now at the time, just would have been like, I don't get this, because it just doesn't strike the same chords as it did when I was like that age.
Where did you see it?
At the BFI. They're having the love season, which actually they showed the trailer for some of the other things they're showing, and it's really nice. It's a really good mix of things. It's called like the tagline, like to fall in love with or to break your heart too, and I was like, yeah, I like that.
Are they showing Love 3D?
What is that? Like it's a film called Love.
Yeah, it's been out recently. It's like French directed, bordering on pornographic in 3D. And apparently.
Oh no!
Yeah.
What happens in 3D?
I think that happens in 3D.
That's weird.
We've already booked to see the new Star Wars. It's not even out yet.
That makes us sound like mega fans.
It does.
I've never even seen the others. This is the first Star Wars I've ever
definitely
going to
have
see.
Seen them, but I can't remember anything that happened.
No.
I watched V for Vendetta the other day.
Oh, yeah.
Well, on Halloween, which...
that's quite that kind of thing, isn't
it? Yeah, which, like, again, I've been told is a film that I should have definitely watched. That was quite good. Quite enjoyed it.
Oh, sure. Yeah, because it's a bit like with books and stuff, isn't it? When everyone recommends, they're like, oh, this is an amazing classic, you know, you really should read it. You kind of... You don't, because you hear so many things about it.
Yeah.
And then when you get around to it, you're like, oh, actually, it is really good.
Yeah, that's why everyone raves about
it. That's why everyone says it's really good.
So running-wise, what have we run up to? Oh. We did running sort of together last weekend. So we were in Yorkshire and we went to Sewerby Park Run.
# my favourite park run in the world.
Harry's favourite park run in the world.
Because you run right by the sea.
Yeah, it's pretty nice.
I don't think there's enough park runs. I'm sure there's loads that are like that, but that's the one I found.
No, because even the one in Sheringham, you kind of see the sea, but it's kind of at a distance.
Mm.
This one, you run out along the coast and then back, literally right along the cliff top.
Yes.
And then around a nice little hall, and then a little bit traily at the end through some trees.
A bit woodland.
But my favourite bit was right at the end where you go down quite a steep slope through the trees, so you're just like, yay, I'm flying, and then you hit tarmac, and then you're like, yay, now I'm really flying.
Yeah, that was good. Definitely the tarmac bit was the best.
And it was very, very windy, and couldn't really breathe, but it was fun, it's really nice.
Yeah, the weather wasn't really on our side.
No, that was good. And then I went to parkrun again this morning. I went to my normal one, Mile End, and I got a Mile End PB by 4 seconds. Which,
isn't it?
Considering I stopped to blow my nose halfway through.
Oh, then you could have shaved a lot more seconds off that.
My first lap, I was flying. I was actually putting quite a lot of effort in. I was like really heavy breathing and I was really making sure that I used the downhills to like recover.
Nice. Well, you know the route, so you can.
Yeah, and then the second lap, I was like, oh my God, this hurts. I was like, great, my stamina is now at about 1.5 miles. Good.
Oh, okay.
Bodes well for half marathon training.
I'm glad you're enjoying it.
Yeah, that was good. And then my favourite run recently was, so last time we recorded I was in Edinburgh, but I hadn't done my run there yet. So on the Sunday morning I did a running tour with Lucia, who will put her details up in the show notes. So she took me around the centre of Edinburgh. It was absolutely pouring with rain, but it was still lovely. Well, yeah, we went around the centre of Edinburgh, went up Arthur's Seat, well, not all of it, because I kind of freaked out and didn't do the whole thing, but about half of it.
Still got a view, huh?
Yeah, some brilliant views, and Edinburgh is hilly.
Mm.
Like, really? Yeah, it kind of...
Oh, I don't want to do the marathon, then.
Oh, apparently the marathon starts up high and just goes downhill. Like, if the entire thing is, like, the elevation graph is just down.
For 26 miles.
Well, I think it's, like, down quite considerably in the first half, and then it's that you get to, like, the lowest level, and then you just run around the flat bits.
Oh.
But, yeah, it's meant to be pretty fast. But, yeah, kind of showed up with my lack of hill training. Most of the hills we got to, I just started walking.
Like, I'm not interested.
I was like, I'm really sorry, I'm not fit enough for this.
That's the beauty of kind of the tour structure. You could kind of just run and walk a bit.
Yeah, and she was really good because she pointed out some really interesting like historical sites, and we went up to the castle, and just like a few little back alleys and like interesting places. So yeah, that was nice.
Such a good way to see the city.
Definitely saw some sites that I wouldn't have seen otherwise.
Mm.
So that was good.
They must do them in London.
Yeah.
We should start one if they do not.
Yeah. Totally should do a London one.
Although, was she proper chatting away while running?
Yeah.
Yeah, you've got to be, like, good at that.
You've got to be, yeah, be able to run quite fast.
Which, going on our discussions about being able to run and breathe at the same time, maybe neither of us would be that successful.
Guide. Because being the person on the tour, I just heard a nod. Yes, interesting. Yeah. Yes. And didn't actually have to speak. So, yeah. At parkrun this morning, my housemate Sam ran one lap with me and then ran off and afterwards said, I didn't know if you weren't talking because you couldn't talk or because you didn't want to talk to me. So I was just like, it's always because I can't talk. Not very good at running and talking.
No.
I'm very, very slow.
I have to focus on breathing.
Especially as there was hills involved.
Mm.
Talking whilst running up a hill.
No.
Difficult. Very difficult. Been up to any running?
Not really. Well, a bit.
Nothing of note.
Very token. Although I just had a small mini epiphany while chatting to your housemate.
Yeah.
Gosh, and I were discussing how did we even get onto it? Oh, we were talking about how you need to, with breathing and stuff, and how the first couple of miles, it takes a bit to get into it. And often it's because your head is thinking about loads of stuff. And then you clock in into a long run, and then you have that feeling of like being able to go onto autopilot. Yes, because we were discussing how like running for 3 hours is a really long time and how boring it can be. And I was saying, actually, I find it really good if I can find that kind of, I call it like autopilot, but I think it's just switch off.
Yeah.
And I realised Well, we were talking about it and it dawned on me that the reason I've been struggling so much is because I'm not like prioritizing running. I'm just, because I'm not training for anything, I'm just just trying to go out for a run, but I'm not leaving enough time, and I'm not like, I'm doing too many things around it. I'm just squeezing it in. And it means that while I'm running, all I'm thinking is I need to tick this off because I need to do the next thing on my list. And I'm never actually letting myself switch off. And that's why I'm not enjoying it, because I'm hating my run, because all I'm thinking is I need to get to the end of it because I need to do whatever I'm doing next.
That's pretty much exactly what I said to her earlier, which, yeah. But about when I was training, so I said, the reason I don't like marathon training is because you go out for like more than 2 hours, and anything after 2 hours, I just get really bored. I don't get bored especially, but I want to get home to do all the things that I've been thinking about.
Yeah, you start to feel like you're going to forget them.
Yeah, so like I probably after 2 hours would have thought of like loads of things I want to write about, or like, I don't know, something I want to tidy, or a book that I want to start reading. So I just want to get home and do those things. I'm like, right, I'm bored of this now. I want to move on to the next thing.
I'm ready to do my task.
Like, I just can't allow myself to spend that much time just doing running.
And that's it. And I say it feels, at the moment, it almost feels indulgent, which is a really strange thing to say about going for a run. It's totally why. It's totally why I haven't managed to do anything longer than 7 miles in the last month, at least. So, I don't know. Maybe next weekend I'm going to purposefully put some time aside. Because
I faff quite a lot around the edges of running as well.
Yeah, yeah.
So you kind of need to leave enough time to get your stuff on and get ready, and then also like have a sit down when you come home before you get in the shower.
Yeah, and there's too many trying to do... You know, even when I was, you know, I'd have a packed weekend of, like, there's so many weekends in the summer where I seem to be going to a wedding or going to, like, a social event, but needing to do a long run beforehand. Mm. But because I needed to do it, I timed everything to the absolute nuance and wouldn't think twice about it. It was just like, that's what I'm doing, and I'd go and commit to it. And I enjoyed the time in the middle, because the running, I suppose, is the bit where I didn't need to do anything except run. And I haven't been doing that at all. I've just been trying to squeeze it in, and that is why I've been a complete mess. Ah, it's quite reassuring to have figured this out. It's been a productive morning.
Yeah, productive.
Given that I haven't done any running this morning.
I've realised I need to spend more time committing time to
it. Committing time. That will help me a lot, I think. Because if I'm not going to put, you know, not going to put a race in, then that will be a good way. Maybe I can find a way without having to put a race in. Probably explains why I often am a bit of a serial racer. You know, you finish one race and then you start thinking, I'll book the next one, because I think I need the motivation of training. But it's just that I haven't evaluated my use of my time.
I definitely am one of the people that need the race in to do the training. Because as much as I like to say, oh, it'll be really nice because I'll go out on a Sunday and I'll go for a run and I won't have to worry about it, I just don't do it if I haven't got a training race, a race to train for.
No, there's no pressure there.
Non-running wise, I did something exciting. It's not at all exciting, but I'm going to talk about it anyway. So I went for my smear test on Wednesday.
Oh.
Yay!
How often are we supposed to have smear tests? Every 2 years?
I think it's every 3 years.
Okay.
So you have to start going. Well, you don't have to start going. You're advised to start going from the age of 25. I go every year because at my very first smear test, I then had some abnormal cells found and then they had to be removed. So I now have to go every year to make sure they haven't come back. So I've had, even though I'm only 28, I've probably had at least 7 smear tests, I'd say. So I feel like I'm quite well placed to say that it's really not that bad.
No, it isn't.
Obviously, getting naked from the waist down in front of a stranger and letting them put something up you isn't the most pleasant experience.
No.
I wish I could have pictured Harry's face then. He cringed when I said this. They put something up to you.
Because you get all those horrible flashbacks of all the times you've done it yourself and you're trying to block them.
So yeah, I'm not saying this just to like freak anyone out, but I'm saying it more because I just wanted to talk about it a bit to make sure that everyone actually goes for theirs, because it's very important, and I think I'm a good example of why it's so important, because I went as soon as I was 25 and they found abnormal cells and they just whipped them straight out and now it's fine.
Yeah, and now you don't have to worry.
They could have also been completely fine, but then there is a small chance that they would have developed into something worse. So that is a good reason to get it sorted out. And it literally lasts less than a minute, and it is quite uncomfortable. It's not painful. It's just a bit
weird. No, it's just uncomfortable. It's just weird. And it's always that thing where they're like, relax. And you're like, yeah, but It's really hard to relax.
It's
right
also
now.
Quite hard to relax when it's quite cold.
It's always so cold.
It's really
always
cold.
So cold.
The room is
like
cold.
The room is cold.
Yeah. The room's cold and it's cold outside and I'm just taking my trousers off and now you've just put loads of really cold lube on me and now everything's cold.
No, a metal thing. Yeah.
Oh, mine was plastic.
Oh.
Which I think makes it a little
you
bit more
You know the
pleasant.
Thing I actually hate, and this is such an overshare, but the bit when they like crank it open.
Yes.
The noise, like the kind of the like feeling of that is just, that is what gets me. The rest of it, I can almost, like that, I don't even think twice about it. But the cranking of that machine, it's like, oh, I feel like I'm being like in a factory being like cranked open, yeah.
That makes it sound like it goes like really wide, doesn't it? It's probably like literally a few millimetres.
But that's it, because you can't see. In my head, it is like she's like prized open.
Oh, it's funny. And the other benefit is you can get your STI test done at the same time, so it's just like one.
Can you? Do you just ask and they do them all in one go?
Yeah.
I was like,
just do everything whilst you're there.
That's true, because then you got it all over and done with. Yeah. Anyway, which is definitely.
And that's also a good thing to get checked regularly, even if you think you don't need to. It's good to check.
Don't you think it's like as we've got older, people talk less about things like STI tests?
Yeah, because I think everyone assumes that when you're 18 and everyone goes out and goes crazy and has loads of sex with random people, then everyone gets loads of STIs.
Yeah.
And you suddenly become more sensible when you're older, which is clearly not the case.
Which isn't strictly the case. Yeah. I think I'm okay. I've been with the same person for a very long time. Yeah.
Okay, so for people that aren't married, it's probably good to also have that done at the same time.
I just got a letter. But could you call... I presume you could just call up and say, I want to have a smear test.
Yeah, I think you can. Yeah, if you're not worried about it, then you should just ask for it. Mm-hmm. But yeah. I think mine was actually like 11 months this time because they sent me a letter saying it's due in December sometime. Mm. And I said, I'm just going to go now.
I'm sure. Mine, helpfully, is always around my birthday, which is really nice. Oh. I normally get the letter on my birthday. Thanks.
Happy birthday. Okay, I picked up a leaflet whilst I was there. It says... Cervical screening is not a test for diagnosing cervical cancer. It is a test to check the health of the cervix, which is the lower part of the womb, often called the neck of the womb. Just
very good.
A good thing to do. Oh, the other thing you should also do, if you don't mind things... I'm not gonna finish that sentence.
They're not
actually.
In the same.
No, I was gonna say,
I know what you're saying next, and they're not in the same.
I was going to say, if you don't mind things being stuck in you, I'm really sorry if you're not okay with this.
But we're going to need to introduce a warning before this...
Yeah,
what's
like the opposite, like not an explicit warning, but a like...
It is an explicit warning.
It's not explicit. I'm not swearing. I'm just making you feel a bit like cringy.
Yeah.
Anyway, give blood also, because I do that often.
Yeah, but and if careful. When you follow Melissa on Twitter, she will post pictures of the needle in her actual arm.
Yeah, I will.
Or...
Just to remind everyone that you should do it.
I know.
Or to make people faint. Either is quite funny.
Funny for you.
The funniest thing is when I posted it to Facebook and then loads of people were commenting saying, oh my god, this has made me feel sick, don't post that. It just makes it come up on even more people's timelines.
Yeah, that's
more
true.
Often because the more
it
you
viral.
Yeah, the more you comment on it, the more it appears. Someone was like, every time I turn on Facebook there's just a picture of a needle in your arm. But that is even less bad than a smear test. That's like absolutely fine. You just sit with a needle in your arm for 10 minutes and then you get loads of chocolate at the end.
It's the, that's, you know, I'm a very squeamish person, particularly about needles, and it's the fact you have to sit there for so long with it in your arm. I'm very fearful that I'm going to get the urge to, like, rip it out, you know? Like, just all of a sudden it's going to overcome me. Even if I think about it now, like...
I'm pretty sure...
If you could see me now, like, my hand is covering my face, I'm, like, slightly sweating, which I know is completely irrational.
Oh, I get a little bit sweaty there, because it is a bit, like, weird.
Yeah.
And it,
well, yeah, it's not, you know.
But they tape it down, like, on your wrist, on your arm, above your arm. Like,
yeah.
Probably for that reason.
Yeah, probably for people who suddenly go a bit funny.
Get it out.
Yeah. You know that. Yeah.
They could get it out quite quickly if you really wanted to, though. There's, like, a lot of staff there.
And there's enough people around that you could be like, I'm not happy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they come and check that you're okay, like, quite often.
But this is it. It's so important. And I know people who've benefited from having blood, from people who've given blood. And I always feel, I feel so guilty about it. And I do need to just suck it up. And I will.
It's fine.
Very...
Like, if you're going to faint whilst you go, maybe don't go. But if you're fine, then...
I'll just faint and I'll deal with it. But you just, to be fair, I faint often enough. It's kind of like, just move me to one side, I'll be right.
Yeah, it's okay.
I know the drill now.
Okay, so let's talk about New Year's resolutions. So mine at the beginning of this year was to finish every book that I started, which has gone terribly. I think as a result, I've actually read less than I have in the last 2 years, because if I haven't liked a book, in fact, I got stuck pretty quickly on one book and I haven't finished it, and I don't think I haven't really started another one since, apart from my recent shift into actual books rather than my Kindle. I've kind of come to the conclusion that that was the wrong thing to resolve to do, and in fact I should just try and read more, even if it means abandoning a book halfway through.
Yeah, see, I'm quite wedded to the idea that you're supposed to read it, like you start it and you finish it. But then I read that article, the same one you did, that says read, you should pick one up, have a go, and if you don't like it, stop. And that's kind of blown my mind a little bit. But now I'm stressed out because there's like 3 books next to my bedside table that I'm halfway through.
I definitely couldn't keep a book in my house. No, like, I couldn't look at it knowing that I hadn't finished it. It would make me feel weird.
It's annoying me. But admittedly, they're books that I think probably haven't gripped my attention enough. Because gripping books, I devour. So I think it was just that they weren't good enough.
Yes, which kind of makes this point, doesn't it?
Yeah, but then what do you do with them? They're so, like, I'd loved.
This article is just called How to Read More. It's by someone that read, so it was written at the end of 2014 by someone that read 70 plus books last year. Yeah, it says, if you aren't enjoying a book or learning from it, stop reading it immediately.
I think I read a lot, maybe like 2013 or 2012. Like, 1 year I decided to try and read the top 100 books. I didn't get through all of them, but I did get through a lot of them. Probably about 50.
In a year?
It still amazes me.
That's like one a week.
Okay, I didn't read one a week. I wish I'd kept better note of how many I actually read.
I think that might be my New Year's resolution, to actually just write down everything that I read, so at least I can keep a track of it.
Yeah, I don't like the feeling that I don't remember.
Because that's the good thing about Kindle, is that you kind of see it.
Do you get like a visual?
Also, I've moved everything into like read and unread, so I can see exactly how many books I've read.
I suppose I could just count them on my shelf. But then a lot of them I got from the library, so I don't have them.
Yeah, so you wouldn't
remember. And I have a funny thing where we'll talk about a book or something with a friend or something, and I'll be like, I think I read that. I can't remember what happened.
It also says, throw your phone in the ocean, which, would really help. A lot of the time I sit and think, I could be reading right now.
I do that too.
Carry a book with you at all times.
Yeah, that's a good advice. That's why I started reading less, actually, because I got into running more, and I didn't. It was the running to work carrying a book, or running home and things that started, and the wrong commute meant that I wasn't reading.
I often carry a book to work with me, thinking I'll actually take a lunch break and read this, and I never do.
No, I always like the idea of doing that, and then never do.
Have another book ready before you finish the one you're reading. I definitely do that. My Amazon list has got about 50 books on it.
Yeah, I write them in all over the place.
It's probably a bit overwhelming because there's so many that I want to read
right now. Maybe you need to prioritise them.
Yeah, I think I need to clear it out and be like, which of these do I actually
need? Maybe, I'm pretty sure that he'd say that.
Go to bed 1 hour earlier.
I always want to do that, and then I probably get into bed and fall asleep.
Yeah, and then keep a reading log and share your favourite books with others.
Reading log. We could do this as like a sharing thing. We could have like a dual one. Where we're like, I'm reading this. That would be fun, because then it'd be a good way. It's like having a book club, but kind of not having the time pressure.
Yeah.
Being like, now you need to talk about the book.
Yeah, because I have thought about joining a book club, but I think I wouldn't like the pressure of having to finish it. I think that would make reading less enjoyable.
Yeah, I did one with a group of friends for a while. We kept it up for a couple of months. It was hard in that we got onto a book that nobody really liked, and that killed it a bit. Everyone was a bit like, oh. But I read Gone Girl through that. And that was really fun. And that was actually one of the books I really enjoyed having the book club for, because we all got around and talked. Everyone was so passionate about it.
Yeah, that's there was lots of topic of conversation.
So that was a really good one. But the other couple we did weren't as strong. So it is about picking the right book when you're doing that, because it's such a mixed group as well. I can't remember what my last year one was. I've got it written. Oh no, it was things like, I was supposed to do yoga at least once a week. It was yoga, mindfulness, and... No, I think they were the two, because they, underneath them were things like being, like, recognising that busy is just, like, a label, understanding that. Mindfulness in terms of giving myself a bit of a break, not being so hard on myself, and thinking more carefully about what I say and what I do. And then yoga was to try and help all of those things, really, because I find yoga is a way I calm and focus. And I have managed to keep up. The weekly yoga is pretty much there, and it's a habit now. So even if I miss my class that I go to, I'll do something at home to just feel like I've done it. So I suppose I've achieved my kind of my year goals, which is good. So yeah, I need to contemplate some for next year.
Yeah, maybe we'll talk next time about what our ones for next year will be. So for the London series this week, we're going to talk about coffee.
We love coffee.
Yay, coffee's good. Although I don't really know anything about the technicalities of it. I just like a nice coffee shop.
Not like our friends who can talk for England about coffee and seem to know an awful lot about correct temperatures and milk and foam and things like that. Whereas I agree. It's more about the ambience.
Although I don't like a place that makes every drink the same.
Oh, no.
Like, not places that make everything coffee and milk. This is coffee and milk?
Yeah.
Black white, this is coffee and milk. Coffee and milk.
But there is a place that does that, but they kind of make it into a thing. They're like, yeah, you pay, it's like the same price. Or it changes price depending on how much coffee you have. But they have a picture on the wall and it's like the quantity of coffee to the quantity of milk, and then the milk volume just changes based on what type of coffee you're having.
Well, actually, yeah, I guess that's a pretty stupid thing to say, because pretty much all coffee is just coffee and milk of some description, but that just serve exactly the same proportion of coffee and milk and call it different things.
Yes.
That annoys me.
It's important. The denseness of foam is apparently very important, remember.
Okay, I like how I said that I'm not actually a coffee snob, and I'm like, if someone serves me a heavy cappuccino, I'm very annoyed.
Yeah, we're like those people, we're like the Strava biking coffee kind of wanker.
Oh no, I don't have a cycling cap yet though, so.
Oh, I do.
I really want one.
It's all out. That's a practicality.
Yeah, mine doesn't go under my cycling helmet. So the other day I actually thought, I really want a new helmet just so I can wear a cycling cap.
You could have like a summer helmet where you wear a cap.
Yeah. Because mine's pretty good for winter because it's so closed.
Yeah, because it's much more closed.
No, like air holes. Anyway, back to coffee. My favourite coffee shop in London is White Mulberry's, which is on St Catherine Docks.
The Hinge.
Just off Tower Hill. It won London's Best Coffee Shop 2014 in the Coffee Shop Awards. So it has amazing cakes, has really good coffee, and it looks out over the marina at the St Catherine Docks. So if it's a nice sunny day, you like don't even feel like you're in London. All the boats.
Yeah, I love it there. It reminds me of like the Riviera or something. It's so weird.
It's very nice. And yeah, just nice coffee too.
Good. I think I can never seem to be able to pin myself on one. I have two, but for different reasons. So Monmouth is, I'm sure, a coffee brand that people have heard of. And the one in Borough is, I think, one of the originals. It's not the original. Maltby Street, where they brew, where they have their coffee grinder thing, is the original, is the place they started. But it's a great place for picking up a quick coffee and being able to like walk around Borough Market with it. Like, it opens so early in the morning. It's great. Pete and I have like funny habits where things like when we're getting a train to like go out to the countryside or whatever, or we're getting an early train, we will go to Monmouth first because it's open so early. It opens at like 7. And it's always in with all the market traders at the start of the day.
Oh, that's good.
So it has quite a nice atmosphere. It always has a queue and everyone will moan about the queue. It moves quickly. Don't be deceived. And if you're buying coffee beans, which we frequently are, you can then order a coffee at the same time and you therefore skip the queue.
Ooh.
Inside tip. Which I probably shouldn't have told others about.
Yeah.
And, but it means you also get beans for home. But I do, because it's not, you can sit in there, but it's not quite the same sort of place you'd lounge for like an afternoon, which is for me where like that's a good coffee shop. And Cafe Viva in Peckham is that place. It does.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Delicious, like, stews and amazing banana bread and really nice coffee. And it has a lovely, cosy, kind of villagey atmosphere. And I can quite happily sit there and work or read.
That's all for this time. See you in a fortnight when we'll have more running and life chat. But for now, you can find us on the internet at oftrpodcast.wordpress.com. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at oftrpodcast. And if you want, you can drop us an email on oftrpodcast@gmail.com.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.